Oh, hello. Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Lily Salerno here with my partner in crime, Kendall Stowe.
Hi, how are you?
And we are talking to you from our, not our world class studios, but Kendall's place over in East Dallas. And
welcome to Casa de Kendall.
Casa. Anyway, we're here today and going to do some banter, and we're going to have a great guest, Sarah Stapleton Barrera, who is running against Senator Edward Lucio.
Yeah. So
do they call him Edward or Eddie?
I don't know what his full name is. So his name.
He's been in office 30 years. We should know.
He was elected. Here's the thing, I haven't had a lot of time to interact with Eddie Lucio because whenever I ran for Senate, I was told to stay away from Eddie Lucio because he's a snake. So Eddie Lucio is the worst Democrat in the Texas Senate. I think I can say that unequivocally. Whenever you have bad actors, you need to clean house and make sure you're doing it right. And so it may not always be the most popular thing to do, but I think the Pod Bless Texas team is on board taking
that. Pod Bless Texas is, as the Democrats get some power in Texas, we want to make sure we don't do the same old, and if we don't start cleaning out now, we're going to have the same bullshit that they have in D.C., where nobody knows how to govern, nobody's willing to take risk, and we might as well be Republicans.
Yeah, so the Texas Senate District 27 is a sapphire blue district represented by a Republican-light Democrat.
So that's Brownsville.
Yeah, Valley. I mean, Senate districts are huge. Yeah. Like Cameron Town is kind of the population center, which is the Brownsville area. Some facts about Eddie Lucio that I pulled for you so that you can get ready in anticipation for our interview with Sarah Stapleton Barrera, his primary opponent. He's been staunchly opposed to LGBTQ rights and women's reproductive freedom. He voted with Republicans for the bill that Wendy Davis filibustered. So, the one time that you probably paid a lot of attention to the Texas Senate, he was that one Democrat that didn't support Wendy Davis and her filibuster. He was the only Democrat that supported the bathroom bill. He was the sole Democrat that voted in favor of a bill that would have protected LGBT Texans from being terminated from state agencies for being gay. And he often refers to same-sex unions as being, quote, the end of the family. He's allegedly a Democrat.
And he takes money from the Koch brothers.
And he takes money from the Koch brothers who funded the Tea Party movement.
At what point does the Texas Democratic Party say, are you sure about that? Sure you're a Democrat.
He calls Dan Patrick one of his best friends. They're like that. So anyways, hopefully we can knock him out in this primary because he really is... Remember, actually, here's how you can remember Eddie Lucio. Last year in the legislative session, when we were talking about Secretary of State David Whitley and trying to figure out how to block him from being Secretary of State after he purged the voter rolls, everyone was terrified of what Eddie Lucio was going to do because if a single Democrat fell off, we were going to be screwed because no one knew what Eddie Lucio was going to do if he would side with the Democrats or the Republicans. Whenever you're dealing with people purging voting rolls, I think that the Democrats should be singing.
Yeah.
So anyways, his primary opponent in this runoff in July, Sarah Stapleton Barrera, will be on our show today.
Imagine having a young Latina in the Texas Senate.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
When I ran for the Senate, I was 26. I was the youngest person to run since 1885. And now we're seeing some more younger people that are talking about running for it, which is awesome. Sarah will absolutely be the youngest member of the Senate.
When you think about it, Jessica Cisneros, who ran against Cuellar for Congress, she almost won that damn thing. He hadn't poured in all that money and all these jackasses pouring in with him. He would have won. I'm telling you, these old school folks, they need to stay out of this race with her. Yeah. I mean, this is what... This is me off is you get all these national tribes that want to get involved in Texas politics and they bet on the wrong horse. Bet on the other horse.
So anyways, that's a really exciting interview. We're stoked to have her on the show. We've been wanting to do that for a while.
I'm glad we had this time to finally get her on.
How was your last few, how's your last week been?
My little week felt like a long week. I have those awesome grandchildren that have probably.
Now, when you say off some grandchildren, what you're referring to are
the ones you call the terrorists.
The terrorists that you openly negotiate with. Okay.
I openly negotiate, and when I took them to the lake this weekend, we had an incident where. I love Slurpees, as you know. I still love the Slurpees. And I usually buy them a Slurpee.
Every time we go on our little trips around the state where we have to go, we always have to stop at a 7-Eleven to get them.
I can't drink them because I'm trying to lose weight, as you know. But I didn't think it was a good idea for them to have a Slurpee because we were about 3 hours late coming home. And I didn't want them to be all sugar.
You 3 hours late? Who would know?
Well, that was because while we were on our walk that morning, we found a snapping turtle. I didn't know it was a snapping turtle.
Until it snapped you?
Until I brought it home and was having a discussion and then realized, oh, shit, this is probably a snapping turtle. I took a picture and sent it to my brother and he goes, yes, that's a snapping turtle.
Why did that take you 3 hours late?
Well, because we brought the snapping turtle to the house and the kids started getting bonding with it and thought they were going to take it home. And then I realized, oh, no, they can't take it home. So they cried and bring it back to his home. So we were 3 hours late. Get in the car, and I can't get him a Slurpee on the way home. And so they.
So you gave them a pet, took away their pet, and then refused to give them a Slurpee.
And they went through down in the back seat, took off their seatbelts while I'm driving. Oh, I hope my daughter doesn't listen to this. We hate you, Abu. They call me Abu. We're gonna get out. They think they're gonna get out while we're driving and go to the 7-Eleven. They completely turned on me. I had pullover. It was just terrible. And then I realized, I don't know if I'm qualified to watch them. I mean, they're awesome kids, but they're rugged. Well, I mean, they're terrorists, but they're awesome.
Some of you listening may remember Lillian telling stories about her grandkids where one got out of his seatbelt and wrapped his hands around her neck while she was driving.
This time, because I wouldn't stop to get them a Slurpee, they totally turned on me. And so that'll happen. Anyway, so I was really tired when I finally dropped them off to my daughter's house. And then I've been working all week. Great week. How was yours? The no Slurpee did not. Now I have a no Slurpee policy for them because that would be over the top, don't you think?
Little much. I would never give a child a Slurpee in my truck because you know they'd get blue and red all over the place.
I don't know.
Ugh, no. No.
It's more about the sugar in their system makes them sort of pop, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, my week, it was fine. I've just been working a lot. I had a big week. I got accepted to grad school. And so I've been doing all of those applications and things. And so we're going to do that. It's going to be a 2-year stint. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow.
So that'll be fun. And
are you going to ask the federal government some money to help you with that?
I need all the money. Anybody that wants to provide a scholarship that they can deduct from their taxes next year, y'all let me know.
Congratulations. That's a big deal. Especially, yeah. Can you tell people what it is? Because I think it's really.
I'm always overly cautious and stuff because I don't, you never know how things are going to go. So we'll see. I mean, we have to find money and stuff. I probably won't tell people I'm in grad school until I've been accepted to get my degree in 2 years.
Speaking of that, that's the other thing is I'm graduating from college.
Oh, yeah.
And we're having a virtual graduation shout out.
From Obama.
Well, I didn't ask Obama to come, but I have.
He's doing a national convention or something.
Oh, he is? Okay, no. My family and friends are having your Saturday.
Oh, thanks. I didn't know. Thanks.
Well, I actually.
In 2 days. I'm invited in 2 days.
No, you're getting on. I mean, it's not like I had to worry that you were going somewhere.
So you're having a big congregation?
It's not a congregation. It's a virtual. You're on a Zoom call. And I'm thinking about, because you know my family, there's a lot of them. I'm worried. I'm thinking maybe you would be the moderator. If you would mind.
You want me to moderate your son's graduation ceremony in 2 days? Yes. I'd love to do that. I'll give your son a memory he'll never forget.
No, I mean, there's really no, I feel these kids, I mean, I don't want to, we're not going to go back to Indianapolis and have the graduation in December, like they said. We're just going to say hi. It's not, they're going to have, hey, Andrea Solero, you get a graduation. I mean, all of the family's going to be on this. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but, you know, also, we have family that's, you know, big, and so some of them don't really want to talk to the other people. So.
It would be the owner of my life.
Okay, all right. All right, so, good. God bless Texas does graduation. Awesome.
God bless graduations. If you need someone to moderate your family's graduation ceremony, let Lillian know. You know, I can do it. Lil will do it.
You and I were talking about doing weddings. We should do them.
I've done weddings. I've done about seven weddings.
Because someone asked me to do one, and I said no, and then I had another request. But now that it's, I don't have to go anywhere. If I could just do it more with one, I just don't want to.
You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to have to fix your hair.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. If I could just do them from the comfort of my house or here, or my house, I could totally in.
Speaking of fixing our hair, I know we got to get to headlines at some point, but speaking of fixing our hair, you're allowed to start getting haircuts tomorrow. I'm not going to do it, but I am in man bun territory, Lillian. Like, I could literally put this in a man bun right now.
You are so not.
I am like a... I know. I should be living in the People's Republic of Austin. This is ridiculous. But I'm not going to get a haircut tomorrow. I'm going to be a good Democrat. I'm going to stay at home. I'm not going to kill a bunch of people. But, oh, buddy, I need a haircut.
I mean,
my hair's growing down my neck. I look like a lesbian.
I can cut it for you if you want. I'm not sorry. I have scissors.
It's fine.
All right. Well, we're so lucky to have Sarah Stapleton Marrero on.
Love her.
Excited to have her. But before we start, let's hit the headlines. Let's start there, Colby. first headline: coronavirus in Texas. Give me the stats on that.
Coronavirus in Texas. 438,938 tests have been administered in the state of Texas. As of yesterday, May 6th, 34,422 have tested positive, 1,053 more than the day before, and 7,368 more than just a week ago. 948 Texans have died, 42 more than the day before, and 216 more than a week ago.
So we're losing about 50, 60.
Numbers aren't going down. Down, yeah, Lil. They're not going down.
40, we're losing over 50 people a day.
We have recited those stats from the Texas Tribune now for the last four recordings we've done.
And it's getting
worse. There's been no plateau, but everything's opening up tomorrow.
Yeah. It's all going to be bad when they have to shut it back down.
Guys, look, let's just level with you for a second. If you're not a Democrat, you can go to the bathroom real quick. Take a little break. Leave this playing. Okay, now we just have the Democrats here. Guys, don't go out right now. Let them go first. In chess, you send the pawns first, right? Let the Republicans go. Let them get their haircuts. Let them fight over their beauty parlors. Let them go sit around and have margaritas at their restaurant. If they're allowed to drink, they're not very fun people. They may not drink. But I'm saying you let them go do their thing. Let's figure out what happens with them, and then we'll go after that. We need all of you to be alive in November. We need it bad. Ruth Bader Ginsburg needs you to be alive.
Yes.
If Hillary Clinton can get through the inauguration of Donald Trump, we can get through this, guys.
Well, yeah.
Oh, welcome back, Republicans. We're glad to have you here.
Yeah, second headline, Texas Supreme Court orders release of Dallas salon owner who was jailed for ignoring shutdown order.
So this all happened so quickly.
50 people a day in Texas are dying, and this is what we're fitting our leadership of government. Because the Attorney General's involved in this, the Governor's involved in this.
The Supreme Court's involved in it, yes. Yeah, it's stupid. So this all happened so quickly, we haven't had a chance to cover this yet. So there was a salon owner in Dallas that showed up and opened her shop against the orders of the governor. As a result, she was cited and had to have a day in court. Her day in court was in Judge Eric Moyer's court, who's kind of known for being a no-nonsense guy. I like the guy. But, you know, judges have conduct that they have to behave by. So it's always weird whenever news reporters and people call, like, could you put a comment on this case? Like, judges can't do that kind of shit. Anyways, so she went to court. Judge Moyer said, all you have to do is apologize. And she wouldn't apologize. So she got a $7,000 fine and 7 days in jail because she put people's life at risk and violated the orders of the governor. Okay, that's what a judge is supposed to do, enforce the law. And that's what they did. So then everybody lost their gun because this woman couldn't open her salon. All the Republicans went crazy. And they're all trying to free her from jail because she's been through. There were two Hispanic women that were jailed in Jefferson County for the same thing. The Republicans don't seem to care as much. There must be something about this blonde-headed white lady in Dallas that they're very interested in protecting.
Wonder what it could be.
So, went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, entirely Republican court, majority of whom have been appointed by the governor at some point in their career, has overturned Judge Moyet, and she is now being told she can leave.
She's leaving. She's probably going to have a crowd of people that are supporting when she walks out.
So, Greg Dan Patrick offered, Eddie Lucio's best friend, Dan Patrick, actually offered to pay her fine. After he saw that she had raised the money already, he then came in and said, well, you know, if she doesn't raise it, I'll pay it.
Hey, such a chunk. All right.
So anyways, so thank goodness Shelley Luther is out of jail. Shelley Luther going to jail was probably the only good thing that happened in 2020. Except Harvey Weinstein going to jail. Harvey Weinstein and Shelley Luther going to jail were the best things that happened in 2020. I think so.
Some other good
thing. Finally, go.
I haven't found it yet, but I know that it is. I know.
Well, murder hornets. Those were a blessing.
Fun. Other things. We had some good people win the primary.
Tiger King. Well, it's just been a shit show.
It's gonna get better. Cool. All right. Oh, your birthday was this year.
Yeah, 30. What a dream. This is how I've spent my 30s. My entire 30s have been on lockdown. Everybody keeps telling me my 30s are going to be great. You can't even go out and drink at a bar.
That's true. All right, next headline.
I need a drink at a bar more now than ever. Sorry.
Don't do it. Next headline. Trump ordered to paint border wall black to drive up the cost of this border wall, which is already an atrocious cost. $500. His idea being that if it's black and it gets hot, no one will climb up it.
Yeah. That's what his idea is. Clearly never been to South Texas where when it's 120 degrees outside, it doesn't matter what color the fence is. You're not going to want to touch it. But the president has said that he wants to paint it black. He keeps going. He sees a wall and he wants to paint it black. And he is insisting that it's going to make it look more foreboding. And it will not. So $500 million!
I can't. Okay. Priorities.
But, you know, we can't afford any assistance in the COVID response.
Yeah.
We have to spend that $500 million on painting the wall black.
Priorities, man. All right, next headline. Gun control advocates plan to make Texas a top political priority in 2020. And that's from our friends from Everytown for Gun Safety, where they said they can spend $8 million. And our friend Jennifer Boyle is the political director.
And they have hired three people to work in Texas on their behalf. It looks like their new political director will be Jenna Boyle.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, she's wonderful folks. They're going to start with a $250,000 digital ad campaign targeting Republicans in five key congressional races. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I wish they'd help us with the state pass races. I wish they would have played in congressional district 3. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the up-and-comers. But yeah, no, I think it's great. I tend to think that these big PACs that come to Texas, sometimes they spend their money wrong. So I'm glad that Jenna Boyle is somebody who understands grassroots organizing and hope that that helps. But yeah, it's great. It should help. We need all the money we can get to beat these Republicans in these congressional districts.
I love whenever money comes into the state. The problem in my mind is that they all,
we hate to dish them, but they sometimes make very bad decisions because they don't understand the state.
Well, and then you go to people to figure out how to spend your money, and it's people that are benefiting from you spending that money, right? And so it's like, it's not, I think that there needs to be some real adjustments to the way that the state's operating. And unfortunately,
there's a good old boy network. They always go through the good old boy network. And yeah. I would always try new things if I were these big PACs, because the old way of thinking is not reflective of the changing demographics of Texas. And so I'm hoping people will realize that and spend that money correctly.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
And so that should be exciting. I'm really excited about Jenna Royal. For those who don't know Jenna Royal, she was a big North Texas activist for a better work in his Senate run. Had a brief candidacy for the state house. Didn't quite get there, but
well, she dropped out.
Yeah, it was a really crowded field, and I think she bowed out and let folks run there. And so, anyway,
we wanted to have her on anyway. Now we have her on.
Now we have a reason to have her on.
Yay!
Yeah, so.
All right.
Anyway, so, we adore Jenna, yeah. So this is really exciting.
So she'll do great work. All right, and that was Hit the Headlines. Now, when we come back, we'll have the Democratic candidate running against Senator Lucio, our friend, our new friend, Sarah Stapleton Brodeck.
So stick around!
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. With us today is a Democratic candidate for Texas Senate, District 27, Sarah Stapleton Barretta.
Yay!
Welcome. We're so glad to have you.
Happy to be here.
Where are you Skyping in to us from?
I'm coming to you live from Brownsville, Texas, on my front porch, sitting on the ground, because I've got a circus inside with three kids and two dogs. And a husband who I hope is holding it all down.
How has running for office with three kiddos been?
It's been insane. I mean, if you would have asked me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or told me that this is where I would be in my life, I would say you're crazy and there's no way. I mean, when I first started campaigning, I guess, well, a year ago, a little over a year ago, I had a three-month-old that I would carry in one of those little backpack carrier things to, the local pachangas and the events, and people thought I wasn't crazy. Maybe I am, but, it's been an experience.
So for people who aren't familiar with you or your race, we spoke about it a little bit earlier in the show, but you're actually running against incumbent Senator Eddie Lucio, and you are in a runoff in July. We've already kind of gone over a little bit that needs to be taken out in the runoff, but if you could just let folks know a little bit about what your background is and why folks should choose you over Eddie Lucio.
And why you decided to run.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure. So I'm here from Brownsville, Texas, born and raised, and I'm a local attorney. I've been doing mostly constitutional law and criminal defense for the past 10 years, I guess. I'm a mom of three, and literally just 7 years ago, I could have never imagined myself to be in this highly competitive race that I'm in. I was a single mom, with a two-year-old daughter, just really trying to make my way, figure out how to get on with the day-to-day. I mean, some days I couldn't afford Pampers. I mean, it was crazy. But at that point in my life, I learned how difficult the struggle was down here to care for a child, pay for daycare, hold a full-time job, and learn to deal with all these, things that just pop up. It's shocking. I mean, this world can be extremely cruel to working class women, single mothers and working families. And I just had enough, and I was able to squeeze myself out of it because I was fortunate to get an education and be able to go on to law school. But a lot of people down here don't have that opportunity financially and economically to be able to do that. And I'm tired of the inequity and, having my friends who live just down the ways have to deal with, flooding and disasters and, just really drowning with no way out. So I had enough, and he's been there for 30 years and nothing's changed. So here we are.
Yeah.
He has been there for 30 years. 1990?
Yes. Yeah, my entire, he was elected the year I was born.
Wow.
Well, I remember when I was in third grade, I think it was third grade, he came to my school as, presenter and talked to us. So I met our senator then, You know, it was unclear to me at the time that all these years later I'd be running against him and that he'd still be our senator, but here we are.
So how has he treated you just as a female running against him as in this competitive race?
You know, face to face, you know, he'll approach me and he'll speak to me. I feel like a lot of it is condescending. Maybe that's just my own sort of issues with it, but you know, you hear stuff behind the scenes. Well, you know, he plans on attacking you like this and doing this and he thinks this, and you know, I don't imagine he's thrilled with my presence in his life right now.
I don't imagine
which
that
is
either.
Great, because frankly, I've not been thrilled by Senator Lucio's presence in our life. Senator Lucio, for those who are not familiar, was the only Democrat who voted against Wendy Davis and the Democrats during the filibuster and supported the bill that the Democrats were thought to be united around. In addition to that, he was the only Democrat to support the bathroom bill in 2017. And he is often referred to same-sex unions as being, quote, the end of the family. Where do you differ with Lucio on the issues that matter?
Okay, so if this is Lucio, put me on the other side of the planet, and that's where I'll stand on these issues. I mean, it's just crazy to me. He's thrown, you know, thrown women under the bus, thrown the LGBT community under the bus time and time again, you know, and here we are. He really is the Republicans' yes man. I mean, if they need a stamp of approval, he's the yes man. He's the one that they go to, and we don't need a yes man anymore. We need a no woman who will come in and say, no, you're crazy. So, yeah, it's horrific.
Yeah, whenever I ran for the state Senate, I would reach out to the Democrats that were elected in the legislature, and they would openly tell me, be careful talking to Lucio. Number one, he probably won't help you because he doesn't help Democrats. And number two, anything you tell him will get back to Dan Patrick. And it's gross.
Is it his sort of stronghold in South Texas? Is it sort of that old school Latino, male, you know, women belong in their place kind of deal, and we'll do the business, you ladies stay home? Or is it more than that? That's what it has always appeared to me, but I don't live there. You do.
He is the epitome of this machismo culture, right? So, I mean, he's, I think, the second or third most senior senator. He's been there for all these years. And, you know, the story is he plans on retiring and then slipping his son into the position because they're part of this dynasty that, you know, that deserves this position. It's just crazy to me. I mean, if I can pull this off, I'd be the first mom from my district as senator. I'd be the first woman. I'd be the youngest current Texas legislator. I'm the last thing the old establishment wants, but likely the very thing that the old establishment needs. It's time.
Yeah.
You need to get elected. I mean, so you knocked out your primary opponent, and now it's you and Senator Lucio on July 14th. He's going to have more money than he needs. Is he going to sit back on his heels? Is he going to spend that money? Is all that sets between you and winning dollars, or what needs to happen?
Oh, he's going to spend that money, no doubt about it. And it is no doubt that I cannot compete with him with money. But what I do have that he does not is I have the people and I have the progressive organizations. You know, I have the endorsements keep rolling in. So I feel like this family that really just started off as three people, myself, my husband, and my friend Ernie, who ran this primary, has turned into this really special coalition of people. I mean, he can, and you know, he outspent us times eight, if not more, in the primary, and we ended up where we did. So money is not going to win this race. It's going to be energy, it's going to be momentum, and it's going to be hard work, and I can knock him out of the park on all three of those.
Do you feel that the Democratic Party and the Democratic allies have been supportive of your run? Do you feel that they've been complacent about it, or do you feel that they have worked against you?
Well, it's kind of a weird sort of split. When I first put my name out there, a lot of the you know, Democratic Party down here was like, wait, you're crazy. I mean, there's no way you can win against this political machine. And so a lot of the sentiment was kind of like, hey, I'm rooting for you, but don't tell anybody, right?
Right.
Because they, and I get it. I mean, it's hard to be brave sometimes, and it's hard to step out. But once I was able to prove myself, and once I was able to get through to this point, now I feel like people have the confidence, and they're like, okay, this is the time. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen now, and we all need to get behind her. So there is a shift, and it's an awesome shift. I'm glad that it happened now. I wish it happened sooner, but here we are, so I'll take it.
Well, the whole Pod Bless Texas family is rooting for you, and if there is anything that we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to let us know. We would say we'd come down there, but I don't think we're allowed to do that right now.
Deal travel.
I don't think so, but I certainly appreciate it, and I will reach out, because I will definitely need some help along the way.
Well, very cool. Well, you don't get to leave yet, because before you go, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsess! Obsess! For each of us, I'm going to talk about one news story for the week, whether it was politics or wasn't, that they've been completely obsessed with, and as a segment with Lillian Salerno. So, Lillian, what is something this week that you've been completely obsessed with?
Well, I normally talk about COVID or the Trump administration, and I'm trying not to do that this week. So I'm going to talk about the state of California and how they're going to lead us out of this. So the state of California is governed by Gavin Newsom, and then the largest city, Los Angeles, by Mayor Garcetti. And they actually like each other and are friends and are working together. And they're doing tests in about three cities where they're doing complete testing. So when we get those numbers, we will get to see what we should be doing. And since the national government's sort of abandoned us all, we will all be following California. And I'm obsessed with giving them the credit that's due. The news may not be good, but it will be factual. And that's the way the country will be going from here on out. And I'm obsessed with getting those statistics so we can get this country moving in the right direction. And the federal government has got to follow California. We can't get out of this without doing that. So that's what I'm obsessed with. Yay, California!
Get obsessed, Lillian.
And I wish the Texas delegation and the Texas leadership would... One day, we'll be the leaders on these kinds.
Straight up garbage.
On this
straight up garbage.
Yeah, too bad.
Good obsessed, Lillian Salerno. Good obsessed. Democratic candidate for Texas Senate District 27, Sarah Stapleton Barrera. What is something this week that you've been completely obsessed with?
I am completely obsessed with the Houston Chronicle's article that they put out last night, basically telling the world that the Koch brothers are now backing Lucille with a huge, substantial push. So look forward to some mail or maybe some TV from the Koch brothers on behalf of their one and only Democratic candidate, Senator Eddie Lucio.
And for folks who aren't familiar, who are the Koch brothers?
The Koch brothers, I would put them in
well,
line.
Well, I guess there's only one brother now, right? Who's the Koch guy?
K-O-C-H. Koch.
Let's just put it this way. If you are a person with sound morals and you align yourself with the Koch brothers, you are basically signing your soul to the devil. I mean, really, these guys have, or this guy, they've backed, you know, with billions of dollars, the Republican Party and these really crazy agendas. They've wreaked havoc on the planet. I mean, you name it, and they've done it in a very, very poor way.
Essentially, more basically, they were the funders of the Tea Party movement, right?
Yeah.
So these were the
dark money
They led to the rise of Donald Trump, and now they're giving money to your Democratic opponent because he is a goon. A goon!
the only one.
Democrat wouldn't take money from them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty, I mean, it's pretty shameless, but it's our reality, and here we are. And I think people just need to know, you know. I think if they knew, then it would be a game changer. It, you know, certainly is for me.
Money, money, money. We gotta send money to Sarah Stapleton Barrera. Good obsessed! Texas Democratic candidate in Senate District 27, Sarah Stapleton Barrera. Great obsessed. My obsessed this week has been the health of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We regularly have scares where Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in situations. This week she was hospitalized for a gallbladder issue, but she was released this morning and is in good health. So say a little prayer for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And it's quite the reminder that this election is really important because Ruth Bader Ginsburg deserves to fucking retire for once. So that's what I've been completely obsessed with this week. Anybody that is sitting on the sidelines in this election, you know, just think, what would Ruth Bader Ginsburg want you to do? Do that for her. Just do it for her. And that's what I've been completely obsessed with. And that was obsessed! If you have something that you've been obsessed with this week, please make sure you send your video of 30 seconds or fewer to info@podblesstexas.com. We might play it on the next episode. info@podblesstexas.com.
And we thank you so much for joining us from your front yard. And I know you've got three little ones in tow and running a big campaign like that. Really, God bless you for doing it. We need you. We need you to win. We really need you to win.
Thank you. Well, I need you guys to help me get there to win. So thank you for this. I mean, the exposure is awesome and you guys are great.
Where can folks go if they want to follow you or your campaign?
Yeah, so you can go on Facebook and just find me, Sarah Stapleton Barrera, for Texas Senate, District 27. You can go to my website at sarahstapletonbarrera.org. Or you can call me. My phone number is all over the World Wide, Wide Internet. Send me a text or give me a call.
Right. Okay, that sounds great. And if folks want to follow you, Lillian, where are they going to do that?
You can follow me through Podwest Texas or through Twitter at Lillian_Solinger, where I tweet occasionally.
Yeah, it's nice when you do. We like it. We like it when you tweet. Yeah. And if folks want to follow me, they can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, LinkedIn, at Kendall Scudder. All the medias, all the socials. Quite surprising for someone as antisocial as myself.
Anyway, well, thanks everybody for joining us today, and have a blessed week.
See y'all next week.
Thank you, guys.